He's done a lot of planking, and I said, "Oh yeah, go and sign up." So he signed up, so he'll be
Great.
showing up. A
Cool.
guy who actually has done it.
Good.
Yeah, it was cool. He was a nice guy.
Great.
He was from New
Nice.
England, I
Oh,
think.
yeah, you have that.
Yeah.
A lot of boat builders from up in that area.
Yep. He was a nice guy.
Okay.
So were you guys all boat builders before you joined up with this project?
No.
No. I was. I've been a boat builder since I was a little kid. My grandfather was a shipwright here
Right.
in the bay.
We'll get back to that. But how about you guys?
Architect.
Architect.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So I see this as something that would be simple. Just kidding.
Yeah, looks really simple. But be here in the Bay Area.
Yeah.
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 And retired now, or?
No, I'm still working.
Good.
Are
Okay.
you?
Yeah. Can you believe that?
Good job.
You work here?
Chrome Architecture in San Rafael. Yeah, just
My
an
wife's an
account.
architect, Barbara Brown. Do you know Barbara Brown?
I know the name,
Yeah.
yeah. What company?
It's her own company.
Yeah. And what city?
Oh, Sausalito, here in town.
Okay,
Yeah.
okay.
Cool.
Heard the name, definitely.
And
you're
the
Michael
code.
Rex and Don Olson.
Okay, yeah. Yeah.
You still see Don
Sausalito
around.
crowd.
He's not doing too much work now. Don.
Yeah.
He gave up his office and he's still, I think he's a little bit active, but not so much. But Michael Rex is still very active.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
I
So I
saw
guess
him.
he's a partner here with the
Yeah, he's been supporting us all along. He's done a lot of work with the city, helping us get this site. He's done a lot.
Yeah, he's well connected.
He really supports not just our program, but the whole waterfront. He's an
Oh,
advocate of the
that's cool.
waterfront.
Didn't he live on the water? Or?
He did. He started out on a houseboat.
Galilee, right?
No, it wasn't in Galilee. I don't know where it was,
Yeah.
but early on, he was on a houseboat for a number of years, and so he became, understood the waterfront. He's been a
Yeah.
big supporter.
Yeah.
And how about you? You're Coast Guard, is that right? Is that what I heard about you?
No, I'm a BMW car salesman.
Oh.
That's what I did.
And so how did you end up with this gang of guys?
I drove by and saw the sign and came right in.
What was the draw?
I had when I was like 18 till I was 21, I built houses and worked for a bricklayer and worked as a construction laborer, and I liked that work. And so I thought I want to go back and do it. And so this happened, and I came right over.
You live in Sausalito, or
Yep.
born and raised, or?
No, I'm from Colorado, but I've lived in California now, San Diego and here for 28 years.
Okay.
But Sausalito, 10 years, Sonoma, 10 years, and then the rest of the time in San Diego.
So you saw the sign from the freeway?
No, just driving by because I always, I
You
live here,
sure
so it was right out here,
Don't do it on YouTube.
in front of the boat. That was right when they had built the tent, I believe. And then I saw the sign, and then I just came over and went for it.
Whoa.
So it's that easy to just walk in. Anybody will come, and you'll take all comers, is that right?
Oh,
Yeah,
yeah.
we've only turned one guy away.
Oh,
Only one.
We
Why
don't know who
There's
he
your
is.
story.
Why'd you turn him away?
Because he cost more than he produced.
In beer, or?
No, just he cost it. It just wasn't in the. It was more problematic than it was production. So we had to let him go. But that's only one out of what, like 250 or
Well, a
so?
couple hundred is coming on.
Yeah.
And about 100 of them are active right now. 50 to 100 are active. I don't know if we've had 200 have come.
I thought 180 was the number
Well, they
expected
sign
on it.
up, and they show up, and
Right.
they don't really.
But yeah, we've only kicked one guy out of here.
Well, that's a pretty good track record.
Yeah, I know. Well, that's like
That's
a
like
half a
less than a half a
percent.
percent,
Exactly,
right?
yeah.
Yeah.
That's true.
Pretty good.
I didn't think of it
Easy
that way.
to
That's
work
true,
for.
yeah.
What's that?
We're really easy to work for.
So, or does that mean, are you one of the boss dogs? Or?
No. Oh,
No?
God.
You're easy to work for?
It's
No.
easy to work for these bosses
Oh,
because
okay.
they don't hurt you very often.
No, only sometimes.
Hurt you? No, I've never hurt you.
Well, sometimes, sometimes
that
your back
doesn't count.
hurts.
This is a
Alive,
job.
Hurt your feelings? Okay, I'll be a little more sensitive.
Sometimes your legs hurt after the work. So, stuff like that.
So how did you get involved in this?
Well, I've known about Call of the Sea for 10, 15 years. So I knew about the project from the beginning.
I mean, are you a boat builder before
this?
Oh,
no, no. I was a computer jockey.
Okay.
But he's a tall ship sailor. He can tell by looking at him.
I have sailed like on the sea. Square riggers, yeah.
Okay. So what square riggers have you sailed on?
Oh, Lady Washington, Hawaiian Chieftain, and I've sailed quite a bit on the Seaward.
Okay.
She not being a square rigger, but...
He's paid his dues.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. So does everybody who volunteers, you all sail? You're a sailor, too? You're an architect and
no.
a sailor?
No, not at all. I just find it fascinating, you know?
Yeah.
To see something like this done is incredible, and being close by, I just said... I'm going to do this. How often do you, in your life, do you get a chance to be around people building a tall ship? You know?
It's true.
Yeah. How many tall ship build projects are there in the world now? Six, eight?
You know, it depends, fluctuates. Yeah. You know, I mean, we've put out in the past decade Pride of Baltimore 2, the Virginia, Spirit of South Carolina, and now this, and also the.
San Diego boat,
right? So that's six that's in the past hierarchy. In a decade, and then also Blue Nose.
Oh, full that Blue Nose completed.
That was the Chieftain. Hawaiian Chieftain.
That was a ways back, but that's just in the past decade. So, well, yeah, past 10, 15 years.
I didn't know there was a new Blue Nose. I grew up in Nova Scotia.
Oh yeah, no, they're having a really hard time getting their Coast Guard certified because they didn't follow the plans.
Oh yeah, you gotta get the plans.
So they're like 17 million into it and they're still not certified.
Ooh,
but the Blue Nose, a great boat. Nova Scotia, I love Nova Scotia. You grew up there?
I
used to do the Marblehead Halifax race.
Oh wow.
Yeah. Okay. On the turbo sleds, you know, the big boats, maxis.
Uh-huh. I don't know what a turbo sled big boat maxi is.
Like millions and millions of dollars. Big super go fast boats with a crew of like 20, 25 people. You know, they do like 40 knots under sail.
These are guys that look for higher winds, like hurricanes. They love them.
But I loved Halifax. I used to go up there. We did that race five or six times. Donnybrook beat us every time. Roy Disney's boat.
Halifax. That's like at the top of the world, right?
Yeah, Nova Scotia.
So yeah,
it's pretty far north.
It's pretty far north, right?
But you can get a lot further north.
Oh, yeah. You can. Okay.
Definitely.
Where did you live in Nova Scotia?
Dartmouth.
Okay.
Yeah, across the bay from Halifax.
Uh-huh.
It was definitely not the top of the world. But definitely at the top of the world compared to here.
Did you? Were you born there?
No, I was born in Massachusetts on Cape Cod.
Oh, same.
Yeah.
So Marblehead, Halifax.
Yeah.
Same. Get up.
Same.
Goddamn,
that
water's cold up there.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah.
So totally off subject. Those are your boots.
They're my shoes.
They are incredible.
Okay, go ahead.
Really? You like my shoes?
Oh, I think they're phenomenal.
Oh, shucks.
Yeah, those
thanks.
Are awesome.
Aren't they?
I love cowboy boots.
Are they snakeskin?
They aren't boots.
No, I don't think they're snakeskin.
Oh, they're...
I don't know. I got
no,
them from
like
a Simon store.
Those are actually...
Those are... whatchamacallit? Armadillo.
Armadillo.
That's
right.
Correct. That's right. That's armadillo. What they are.
You know, back in South Carolina,
yeah. Oh,
we used to...
they make boots out of all kinds.
For a good time, call so-and-so.
Yeah, armadillos are great. You can just
and then they'd walk around advertising. The armadillos, because we would catch them for fun at
night.
So you
think these are really made out of armadillos?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Totally.
Wow.
Yep.
That's
sure
what they look like.
Well, I don't really fit in with the crowd, though.
No.
Well, these just have much glue on them, and you can't even really tell their shoes.
We could dress you up. You get some red backs.
Yeah, those are really probably the best.
Oh, wow.
So let me get your names. Can you, before I go... focus in on Franz for a minute. I wonder if you would each be kind enough to tell me your names and where you're from. Now that I got your background story, can you just tell me like your name and like where you come from?
Well, my name's Larry Davis. I actually come from Redondo Beach, but I live in Mill Valley. And I've been in Mill Valley for like 34 years.
And that's where your architecture business is?
It's actually in San Rafael.
Oh, okay.
In Marin County, yeah.
Thank you. And how about you?
I'm Bruce Lindsay, and I live in San Jose. I've been in the Bay Area for 40 years, San Jose for 30 years.
Did you say, I'm sorry, can you say your name again? I didn't.
Bruce Lindsay.
Bruce Lindsay. Lindsay, okay. All right, and then, and say that again, you've been where?
I live in San Jose, and I've been in the Bay Area for 4 years.
Okay, great. And so you must come up to Sausalito pretty often?
I just come up for 2 days a week.
Nice, okay, and how about yourself?
My name's Dixon Anderson, and I'm from Colorado, and I've lived here in Sausalito and the Bay Area for 19 years, and San Diego 11 years, and it's just a great place, and this is a great, great place to work.
Cool. All right. How long have you been working on this boat?
2 years. Over 2 years.
Great. Okay. Thank you. And how about yourself?
I'm Dan Chagrou, and I live here in Sausalito. And I've known Alan for 35 years. And we sailed together in Hawaii and Mexico and did charters, you know, around the Bay Area.
Okay. So. All right. Yeah, he was telling me a little bit about his sordid history. So I was calling him the Tom Sawyer of boat building, it sounds like.
Well, he built a boat, I guess, when he was very young, in his 20s, and sailed down the Mississippi in a catamaran. And then he built another boat in the 70s, and that's the boat I sailed on, was Stone Witch. And so I've known him just for, you know, I knew him, you know, in a concentrated period, you know, when I was 20 to about 22, when I lived on board, and we did a bunch of sailing together. And then, you know, just went on my own. I became a contractor and a builder, and did some spec houses, did a lot of cabinet work and stuff. And so I got really skilled at carpentry. And so when this came along, it was just a no-brainer. Here, I live in town, and this was happening. And, you know, I knew this was a dream of Alan's since probably late 70s, early 80s. He's been planning on doing this boat, and... there was even some city council meetings that I went to here in town way back then, and it just never came together. But now it's finally coalesced, and it's all coming true. So it's
wow. So really, you guys are like comrades in arms.
Well, we are. Yeah.
But what do you do for a day job, or is this your day job?
Well, I have some properties, and so that really helps have income property. So, but I do, you know, contracting work as well. So I've just come down here once a week and help out. And if things free up a little bit more, I might do some more. So, yeah, it's really great. I can almost walk here. You know, I'm so close. So it's really great because at one point, Alan might have done it in Richmond or Oakland or something like that. So I'm really glad he chose Sausalito. And it has a real heritage of boat building here. So,
yeah, it sounds sort of like Sausalito chose this in a way.
Absolutely. No, this is a big part of Sausalito's history, is the whole maritime. Right down here, they did this huge effort for the Liberty ships during the war. But even prior to that, there was a lot of boat building here in Sausalito.
But also, didn't Sausalito kind of offer up free space and everything for this to happen?
Yeah, their marine ship actually has a charter, the city, and this really fits the charter. They want people down here doing educational kind of things and shipbuilding. So this is a perfect fit for, you know, this whole section of Sausalito, which is called, I guess, the Marin Ship, is what they call it. Yeah.
Okay.
Cool. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're very welcome. Yeah. I look forward to the piece.
Yeah, me too. It'll be nice when it's done. Okay.
Okay.
So, but tell me all about everything, Franz. Are you ready to chat for a bit? Yeah. Do you want to sit down or
whatever? I mean, do you want to sit down?
No, I'm fine. Okay. I'm good. Yeah. So okay. So start over again. You told me a couple times now that your family's boat builders. So tell me.
My grandfather, when I was a kid, my mom used to drop me and my brother off as soon as school ended with my grandmother, and we spent the summers. In Sonoma, harvesting grapes, working the garden, which was like an acre. And during the weekdays, my grandfather would take me to work in the shipyard. I'm not really exactly sure where it was. I think it was in the East Bay. But so for about 6 years, every summer I spent in a boatyard.
6 years from what age to what age?
Like 3-ish. to like 7, 8, 9. Yeah. Going to work with him, and you know, I knew all the guys that worked at the boatyard. It was cool. So, you know, they mainly made me put cotton in and plugs and go into really small holes because I was a kid. So I learned a lot about boat building at an early age, you know, because I think my first boat I built, I was one of four. We built a little plywood boat that I could play with, put a motor on it, had a sailing rig, daggerboard, you know, just wasn't anything special, but it was fun.
Yeah, well, that sounds pretty special when you're four.
Yeah, no, it was great. Yeah.
And so, what was your grandfather building? Do you know what kind of boats he was building?
He was working on ships, big boats.
Not wooden ones.
Yeah, no, wooden ones. Yeah. You know, it was a wooden boat shipyard. It was like the end of the wooden boat era. You know, they weren't, I think it was mainly repair. There was a few new builds, I think.
And so did you pursue it on your own after that? How did you keep it up?
I did. We worked together my whole upbringing. He passed when I was 14, 15. And we built some houses. We built cabinets. You know, I said I wanted a go-kart. He's like, here's a welder and a welding mask and some bed frames. You know, and if I wanted a skateboard, he would be like, okay, well, let's make one. So we laminated the first, you know, convex, concave deck for a skateboard because I wanted a Santa Cruz bevel. But he's like, oh, no, we can make one. So we made one. And so everything, that kind of got me into the whole thought train of if you want it, just make it. So, you know, it was like in my blood and it became part of my lifestyle as well.
So, have you been doing this professionally all this time, or is this been
since I got out of high school. Yeah.
So what did you do out of high school?
I had a mill shop in Cape May, New Jersey. I restored a couple mansions, you know, high-end Samuel Sloan design, bracketed villa. That was like a huge endeavor. As long as this project's going to take 3.5 year project. And then after that, I moved to Charleston, South Carolina and started Low Country Boat Works. And I built over 150 new boats there, mostly small boats. I did a lot of boats for Hollywood. Like I did The Notebook and Cold Mountain and a few other like movies. I don't even know if they made it, but The Cold Mountain, we built like 16 boats for them. And The Notebook, we built over 20 boats for them because there's a lot of different set locations. And designed the boats and built them.
And this was where?
In Charleston, South Carolina. And and then, you know, working on boats. I've worked on boats, you know, twice the size of this. You know, replacing planks and frames and whatever, masts, rigging, whatever needs fixing, whatever pay the bills.
So is this paying the bills?
This? Barely. Yeah, I'm taking a huge pay cut to be here. But it's a great project. I've had opportunities to work on other tall ships, like the ones that I mentioned, the Spirit of South Carolina and the Virginia and the Pride of Baltimore, but it wasn't in the cards at the time because I was making a lot of money and I wasn't going to give that up. So I just moved back here 4 years ago from South Carolina when the economy took a dive. So I bought some property here and figured I'd just come and sit on my assets. And since I wasn't making any money, I was basically keeping the doors open in South Carolina, if not losing money during the crash of the economy. So I came back here, and then I opened up Sausalito Boat Works, and I've established quite a few clients here. And I saw Alan in the Seahorse one day, and he's like, "Oh, I just sold my NAR," and I was like, "Why'd you sell your NAR?" And he's like, "Well, we're building a tall ship," and I was like, "I said, well, I have a ship saw I can rent you."
What's a NAR?
It's a racing boat, a wooden racing boat. It's a class, one design class, and so. He's like, oh, okay, well, we'll be needing it in about a year. And so I bought this saw in Irvington, Virginia. I was building a 28-foot Stuart knockabout, a Hirschhoff design, for a client. And this guy had a bunch of derelict boats, basically just lead. All the wood had rotted away, you know. So I was like, I think we got a piece of lead down here at this boatyard that'll fit this boat. So we went down there, and I was like, how much do you want for that piece of lead? And he's like, oh, you know, I'll take $200. I was in, how about the bandsaw? And I'd asked him about 30 times. He was like 98 years old. He wasn't selling it. And this time he said, okay. And I was like, all right, here's the check. I'll be back tomorrow to pick it up. So anyway, I dragged the saw across country on my trailer, and it sat in my front yard for about 4 years. And then after talking to Alan, it was inspiring to restore it for this project. So then, you know, restored it, got it in here, got it set up, and came by about once a week to fix it because the guys kept breaking it because they didn't clearly know what they were doing. We were trying to cut straight, crooked wood into a straight line. Wood usually needs to be straight in order to cut it straight. So that was the problem. So as I was walking in, the project manager that was here was walking out. We actually passed each other going through the tent. And I was coming in to get my rent check for the saw, which was super cheap. You know, I just wanted to get my money back, basically, out of the saw and have it here for the ship. And Alan said, are you busy? And I was like, what do you mean? And he's like, well, do you have a lot of work? And I'm like, well, you know, I'm feeding the kids, but not super busy, gangbusters. I was like, I got two or three employees and, you know, making my way. And he's like, well, you want a job? And I was like, doing what? And he goes, well, building the ship. And I was like, okay.
How long ago was that?
15, it was January 4th, 2014. So, I said, this was a Friday. It was like right after New Year's. And I came in here and I was like, so do you have my rent check? And then he's like, well, yeah, but then he offered me the job. And I was like, yeah, okay. He's like, can you start Monday? And I was like, I can probably get here Wednesday. I got a few things to, you know, finish up. And so here we are. And when I started, I was actually started by putting these sleepers in the ground.
What are sleepers?
See those pieces of wood that are inlaid into the ground?
Yeah.
Those. So there's one under every support under the boat all the way through. So we've gotten this much accomplished, you know, with the massive.
Oh, you mean nothing was put together?
Nothing. So all this has transpired in 15 months. You know, they had about 20 frames made. And
was the problem that they didn't have a guy in charge who knew what he was doing? Is that what was going on?
You know, I don't want to badmouth the guy that was here before, but yes.
Okay.
I mean, clearly not a shipwright or a woodworker or boat builder or furniture maker or anything. So, yeah, and then it says when I got here, things started to speed up exponentially. I hired two of the volunteers that were here because they were like, oh, I'm not going to be able to stay here, and they were two of the best guys that were here.
So who is that?
Richard O'Keefe and Roy Sauber. Roy's been here since day one. And Richard has gone to boat building school and has built a boat and is really passionate about this project. And he's a really good craftsman, woodworker, craftsman, boat builder. He's becoming a great boat builder. So I hired those two guys because they were like, we're going to have to leave and go make money. And I was like, well, why don't we just keep you here and pay you? So those two guys came on, and Richard's been a huge asset to me because I can just tell him what to do and he does it. And, you know, a little bit of explaining here and there, but he executes things well and he's a good leader.
So are those guys that I just met? No. Okay. All right. Well, that's great. And so what's your time frame? What do you think?
It's hard to say because, you know, my staff is volunteers. So, like, yesterday we had, like, six guys. Today we had 12 guys. So there's no way to estimate, you know, if I had 20 guys every day, I could say in the middle of 2016, but that's not a, you know, practical estimate, because you don't know, you know, it's like a box of chocolates. You don't know what you're going to get each day, you know.
How is that? I mean, is this the first time you work with a crew of volunteers?
It is.
How's it going?
It's good, actually. You know, I've had a lot of professional boat builders, woodworkers work with me all over the world doing all different kinds of things. And the best thing about this project is there's no ego, right? The volunteers are here to build a boat, and they do what they're told. It's not like, oh, would I do it like this or I'd do it like that? They're like, oh, let's do it like he says, because I don't know how else to do it. So that's a huge advantage. There's no,
right?
You know, there's no arguing or, oh, well, you know, I'd do it like this or I'd do it like that. So that it's been great, and everybody's really motivated and excited to learn. Like, we have all the volunteers have some kind of, not all of them, but 90% have some kind of woodworking background. Like, we have lawyers, doctors, tugboat pilots, harbor pilots, you know, general contractors, furniture makers, guitar makers, all these guys that are woodworkers, but everybody wants to build a wooden boat, because it's probably the, that's one of my passions, is I love bending wood, and it's fun, it's satisfying, and it's beautiful when you're done. You know, it's a sculpture like no other. And so all these guys have that same passion, and it's great. You know, all the tooling in here is mine, you know, the machinery. So, you know, it's great. When I moved in, I brought in all the killer, you know, tools for doing this. And, you know, it's like, it's not like you're at a shop where it's, you know, a cabinet shop or a hobbyist shop. This is an industrial job site, you know. It's monster tools for building big boats. So, and that's real exciting to the guys too, because they're like, you know, they come in here and they're like, wow, you know, which is great. And so there's a great, you know, just the spirit and the overall vibe of all the volunteers here is awesome. Really couldn't ask for a better job, you know. It's a lot. I mean, I could get paid a lot more, but it's a lot of fun being here and hanging out with the guys every day and teaching everybody, you know, techniques and ways that I was taught and that I've learned. So, yeah, it's fun.
And how long ago did your grandfather die?
I'm 45, so 31 years ago.
So you didn't get a lot of time to apprentice with him.
No, I did an apprenticeship with another man. And then I've done 3 apprenticeships, one in wooden boat building, post and beam construction, and cabinet making, furniture. So I got it covered.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if it's made out of wood, I can make it. And I've done a bunch of instruments. I've made guitars, drums, and just, you know, a plethora of boats. Some architects in Charleston hired me to build all the furniture in new houses, like the beach homes. You know, beds, dressers, sideboards, tables, chairs, entertainment centers, coffee tables, you know, just everything. The whole kitchen, bar stools. And I would spend like 3 years.
Hey, Dixon!
Hey, interview? I'd spend 3 years working on a house. I'd be working on the house 2 years before they even started the footings to build the house. So that was a lot of fun. I got some pretty good write-ups in some magazines, you know, about for furniture that I made. And that kind of spawned a whole new, you know, business, like building furniture. And also in Charleston, I built most of the bars in Charleston.
So, here, let's step out of the sun. I feel like we found the hottest spot here. So are there any women that volunteer?
Yeah, we have probably a handful, like 5 women that come in. Marcy comes to mind, and then we have a few women, five or six women that volunteer mainly on Saturdays.
And they know that they're a woodworker, or is there?
No, we have, absolutely nothing about woodworking or boat building, but there's, a lot of tasks that need to be done, like those guys will usually have them painting and like filling checks like this, the cracks in the wood, have them clean them out and fill them with epoxy. And then, when we were doing the framing, we had to clean all these frames, which was a huge ordeal. So, yeah, there's all kinds of jobs. We have 10,000 plugs going in over all the bolts that hold the planks on. So somebody can stand at a drill press making plugs all day.
And so where do you get, do you just have to hope you get enough whatever, fittings of all kinds, or can you buy them, or how is that working out? You guys getting the wood donated?
Yeah, we had all the wood donated, and we can go from tree to finished product. We have 2 to 3 different mills, and then we have the arsenal of bandsaws, so we can do anything we want with the wood as far as that goes. The wood was donated. All the fasteners are bronze. My friend Reason Bradley, he helped me make all these bronze floors. And he also threaded about 80%, 90% of all the fasteners in the boat that are bolts. He made at his machine shop down on Gate 5 Road, which is here local in Sausalito. And he helped me weld all these together. I fabricated them all, put them all together. And he's actually the welder, the great welder. And then all the wall, the washers are made across the street from him, from Marin Metalworks. He makes, we got at least like 20,000 washers, and he has a water jet machine. So we just buy sheet goods of bronze and send them to him, and he cuts the inside diamond or outside diamond or whatever we want. And he's been a great supporter of the ship too. He's donated a lot of time and effort and money to the project. And so is Reason as well. He's donated a lot of time and effort to this project as well.
Cool. So what's something about this boat that is something that most people don't know about but should know about? Is there any sort of secret, excellent things?
Yeah, the whole entire mechanical fastening of the boat is bronze, which is unusual. It's about the most expensive way you could do it, because bronze is so expensive. All the floors are bronze.
What's the value of it being bronze?
Well, that it will never rust or fail because it doesn't corrode. And a lot of boats, where the bronze is, there would be wood, which would be about 50% as strong. And the materials going into the boat are, grade A of what we've done so far. Everything's pretty much clear Douglas fir.
What does that mean, clear?
No knots, free of defects, no checks, no knots, no knots bigger than a quarter. So it's really good. This, for what we're doing here, we only had fir to choose from because that was what the local builders built boats out of, because that's the wood that we have here in the Bay Area. So that's going to be a fast, slippery hull boat. It's a good design. I like the design. I like the shape of the hull, and I like the powerful rig that's going on it.
What's the rig?
It's a brigantine. So it's made for going downwind mostly.
So explain what a brigantine rig is.
Well, it's got two masts. The shorter mast is in front, and it has square sails on the forward mast, 3-4 yards. So that's basically, I think the longest yard, the main yard, is 60 feet. So that's twice the beam of the boat. So the yards will stick out like 15 feet past the beam, which carries an enormous amount of sail. So it's like having 3 or 4 spinnakers up in the front of the boat instead of one giant one. So you can control, if it's blowing really hard, you can have just 1 or 2 up. And if it's super light, you can put all of it up. So it's a real versatile rig for your weather you got a lot of versatility. And then the aft mast is a Marconi rigged with a couple extra sails on it. I'm not really well versed in the whole tall ship thing, but I looking at the boat, it's got a super powerful rig, which makes this boat was Matthew Turner's fastest boat from here to Hawaii in 8 days. And I think the modern day carbon fiber boats have done it in like 7 days, 15 hours. And so, you know, it's comparable still because of that big rig and the slippery hull shape.
Wow.
So that's loaded full of cargo too.
Moving fast. How many knots is that to get there in 8 days?
I don't know, but we could do the math real quick. If you're doing 20 knots, 24 hours, it's 400 mile days. So, 4 times 10, yeah, about 8 days.
Yeah. 20 knots. Yeah, it's booking.
Yeah, it is.
So how many people how many people do you need to run a boat this size?
Like 10 to 12, I'd say, to do it. I mean, offshore, I'd say twice that amount. But you'd have crew, you know, like your passengers would be part of the crew. They'd help. So 10 professional as crew, you know, for going aloft, furling and dousing sails and whatnot, and setting sails. And, you know, helmsman, cook, you know, there's quite a few positions on a boat.
So do you feel like this is a dying art? But I mean,
wooden boat building, yeah, shipbuilding for sure. It's making a comeback, though. I mean, like I was telling you earlier, you know, it's been 6 boats built in the past 15 years in the United States, and there's other boats being built around the globe. But yeah, it's definitely a dying art. You know, wood is not the material to be building boats. I mean, we did this, the Vikings started this, and the Chinese, you know, way back when, because the material was there. You know, it was easily, readily available. You cut a tree down, you cut it into boards, you build a boat. Now we have steel, carbon fiber, fiberglass, aluminum. You know, there's all different materials now. So wood is not the best material because people think, well, and it's true, wood rots. If you don't maintain a boat, it'll rot. And any boat has a longevity. Steel boat, aluminum boat, carbon boat, fiberglass boat, it doesn't matter what kind of boat it is, it's only going to last so long with the proper amount of maintenance. Wooden boats are the same way, but a lot of people are scared of wood because they think wooden boats rot. If they're well maintained, I mean, there's plenty of boats on the bay that are over 100 years old that are sitting around because they're well maintained. So, right. But there's a lot of people shy away from wooden boats. Because of that, you know, but we're kind of moving back to it. You know, there's nothing fishes or sails better than a wooden boat. And I've got 200,000 blue water miles, and
why is that? What do you think makes a difference about wood?
Well, when I was a kid, we used to fish at Buddy Davis out of New Jersey, and we were always high hook. We caught more fish than any of the fiberglass boats. And I think it's just, you know, that the motion of the boat and the sounds and all that, it's more natural. It's a natural fiber, you know. It's not like a Clorox bottle, a fiberglass boat. And then sailing offshore, I've raced a lot and done a lot of ocean passages in a wooden boat, and they just, you know, they seem stronger and more flexible, and they just have a life, you know, soul, whereas stamped out boats that are just, you know, one after the other, you know, making the haul every week of the exact same thing on a plug, wooden boats have a lot more soul to them. And you feel it, you know, when you're sailing.
Yeah, well, you must feel it building too. I mean, there must be so much camaraderie behind, you know, among all you guys making this boat together that you wouldn't be making together if it was fiberglass, right? I mean,
no.
Would you?
No, we wouldn't be. No, it would be done upside down, or it could be done right side up depending on the mold. Yeah, there wouldn't be. There wouldn't be near the... There could be the same amount of people, but there would be people doing all different tasks. You know, like laying up a hull. You probably wouldn't build a boat this big. You could build a boat this big out of fiberglass. It would be... The tooling would be mind-blowingly expensive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that must make a difference in the soul of the boat, huh?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I wouldn't build a fiberglass boat. I wouldn't build any fiberglass boat because it's toxic polyester resin, and I don't like the itchy, richy, ratchy stuff from the fiberglass. That's one of the reasons I only build wooden and carbon boats, because of there's no itching. And it's, you know, you can breathe as much sawdust as you want. It's just fiber.
Okay. Well, thank you for spending some time talking to me. Is there anything else that you wanted to tell me that I didn't think to ask about?
This is a sustainable project.
Okay.
So, you know.
Explain.
Well, you know, wood grows and turns back into dirt. So, you know, all wooden boats eventually turn back into dirt. You know, it's 100% biodegradable, except for the fasteners, clearly. But those are biodegradable as well, you know, over fiberglass. Steel, you know, all that stuff's going to be around for a long, long time, well after the use of the boat, you know. So in this boat here, this was all being built out of sustainable forestry. So, it's, you know, they pick a tree here and pick a tree there. If you cut one giant tree, it allows 20 littler trees to be giant trees. So I guess that's about it, as far as that goes.
Yeah, so tell me what you were saying about the fish. That you guys were able to catch more fish on a wooden boat.
You know, I don't know how. There's really no explanation except we would school everybody. You know, we would go out, you know, 100 miles offshore in the canyons and, you know, rope the tunas. We'd get like 30, 40 tunas. And there'd be a fiberglass boat right next to us and they wouldn't catch one. So I don't know, but we... That was a Buddy Davis, too. It was a great boat. And my friend, he still owns it and fishes it. And I was 15 when I worked on that boat. And we were mates on the boat then. And he bought the boat from the captain. He still owns it.
Where were you fishing?
We were fishing off the coast of New Jersey, out in the canyon, where the Hudson Canyon, you know, the Hudson Canyon is. Comes out of the Hudson River. It's a big shelf. It's about 86 miles off of New Jersey. And then as you go south, it goes in and out, but it's where the Gulf Stream runs up north. And all the fish hang out right there on that cliff. You know, it goes from like 400 feet to thousands of feet. It's where it's at, fishing wise.
People still fishing there, though?
Yeah. Yeah. The best spot I've been is in Hannibal Bank in Panama. It goes from like 120 feet to 5,000. And we were catching 1,800 pound marlins, you know, just huge fish, giant fish.
How long ago was that?
Let's see, my daughter's 4, she's gonna be 5, so 6 years ago.
Not long ago.
Seven years ago. Yeah, I was hanging out. I was trying to go from Charleston to here, but I got hung up down there because it was so nice. I was down there going back and forth between Colombia, Panama, Costa Rica, Ecuador. Nicaragua for like 3 years, because there's so many islands on the Pacific side, and friends would come down and we'd go sailing, go fishing and go surfing and kiteboarding and climbing, and you know, just a playground in there. And beers are cheap, 25 cents in Panama. Okay. So it was a fun place to hang out. Yeah, it was a good time. I met my wife down there, and yeah, we should be going back here. When this project's done, we'll probably go South Pacific. I have a sailboat.
What kind of boat do you have?
I got a 50-foot Peterson. It's a sailboat. It's an old IOR racing boat. Racer cruiser. Nice boat. It's
where good. Are you going
to
go?
South Pacific. Just float around.
You don't just float in the South Pacific.
Well, you know, Tahiti, the Marquesas, Bali, Indo, you know, Galapagos, probably... Hawaii, and then, I don't know, Australia.
Sounds good.
Yeah, I'd do like a 10-year program or something.
Sounds great.
Mm-hmm. Depends. I might end up with another job after this. Doing this. We'll see how it goes. Take a little break, though. A year or so. Uh-huh. I got some friends. His dad just came in with some kid who's doing the Big Brother thing. And he was like, oh, yeah, you know my son, Barry Stump? And I was like, yeah. He was like, he's sailing to Tahiti right now. He's like, yep. And Alan and Barry and Sylvia are really good friends. They raced with me on my boat. And Barry did tactics, and his wife did the bow. And we did that for a couple of years. We've raced together, but it's funny. He came in here. I was just super jealous hearing that. You know, they're out there, board shorts, tropical water, tropical fish, good life. Eating mahi-mahi every day, uh-huh. Tuna, sushi, you know, and tan.
The important things in life.
Right? I'm glad we see that eye to eye on that one.
Well, thank you, Franz.
Thank you.
Yeah.